11, beginning at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. I'm reading to you from the New King James Version. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Yes. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Yes. Listen to the text, church. The disciples said to him, verse 6. Let us go to Judea again. Go to verse 11. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, that's Doubting Thomas, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found out that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them Jews, the same ones who was hanging around crying with him, around Mary, the same ones, they said, and some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus said again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews, verse 45, then many of the Jews that had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. Look at verse 6 again. So when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was after he heard the one he loved was sick. That's a perfect verse to put a tag on this text with. When God doesn't make any sense, I want to finish this message. Let me take your seats in the presence of the Lord. When God doesn't make any sense. I read the scripture, even though it's a familiar scripture, I read it to you once again, because I want you to accept the scripture afresh. I know I'm certain this is a familiar scripture, like I've said to you, and if you spend any amount of time in church, we all should be familiar with that text. If not another text, we ought to be familiar with that one, right? But to refresh your minds, I'm going to ask you to journey with me to that text, so I can read it afresh into your hearing. I want you to listen. Sometimes we read through things, we read through so quickly. When you pray to God, when you're reading your Bible, you pray to God that you are going about to read your word. You're not supposed to be reading through the text quickly. Read through the scripture educatedly. It's got periods and commas in there. Amen? And periods and commas and punctuations are in there for a reason. Because you can read through a sentence and forget the punctuation in the sentence, the commas and the period, and it'll mean something different. But once you take your time and read it correctly, you know, I don't never rush through scripture when I read it. Mm-hmm. I highlight, and I'm trying to flux it and get into just like how the writer wrote it. Mm-hmm. You know, like when Mary, Jesus says to Mary, your brother will rise again. Mm-hmm. She said, Mary said it with an attitude. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know he raised again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the resurrection of the last day. She mad now, y'all. He dead, been dead 4 days. Now Jesus showed up after the funeral. You see what I'm saying? So read the scripture afresh, and you'll be how God feeds stuff to the scripture, right? When God doesn't make sense. This message was birthed from our reading the book of beginnings, Genesis. When you read this book and you hear that everything God created was good, if that is the case, have you ever wondered where did the serpent come from if he created everything that's good? If everything God makes is good and Eden is representative of paradise, how and where does the serpent show up in the midst of something that God has created that's good? The reason that is a relevant question, my brothers and sisters, is because it is a question of theodicy. Theodicy is an attempt to try to understand how evil can exist in a world where we also believe there's a God that is so omnipotent and powerful. How can a loving God who is so sovereign and do everything God wants to do account for and allow the presence of evil? Doesn't it seem easier to suggest that an omnipotent God could prevent and prohibit some of the evil things that goes down in this world today? Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
How and why do bad things happen to good people? When you think about the reality of evil in the world, the school shootings and some of the situations we deal with, the sickness that we go through as children of God, the financial stress that finds us, the headache and heartache that inevitably lands on our doorsteps, When you consider all of that as a student of the Bible, it will lead you to say, sometimes God doesn't make sense. Amen. The thought will make you shout amen. Because we saved and sanctified as you want to be. Mm-hmm. If the truth be told, each and every one of us reach a place in our life when what you go through does not match the image and the faith that you have in God. I'm not talking to the super saints in here. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to some real folks who know there have been some situations that have come your way that have left you scratching your head. Wondering how in the world God could allow you to go through something if God is everything you say God is. Mm-hmm. And if God could do what God wants to do, if God can pop his finger and stop something, if God can speak a word and bring something into existence, how then can an omnipotent God allow such evil in the world? I know there's somebody on your pew, they have a big Bible, they look all holy in here today, in their lap, and they attend Sunday school, some of them, and you got it twisted, thinking they walk in faith every day of their life. Amen. And every day is just sunshine and roses with them. Amen. But there's somebody on your pew today who has been going through some things in life. Amen. They can't shout about it in church. Amen. But when you get home in the time, when they get home in the quiet moments of their devotional life, they want to ask God why. Let me talk to some real people. Y'all have a mask on. I know he wasn't raised, and that you ought to never question God, Sister Mumford. I know God's ways are higher than ours. I know God is a mystery and his wonders to behold. I know that we don't always understand God, but sometimes what I experience in my walk with God don't make sense. God, if you are who I think you are, and you love me like you say you do, why didn't you stop this? Have you ever been there when God didn't do what God could have done? Yes, or better yet, what you think God should have done? It wasn't like you were asking for much. Lord, I just need you to answer this prayer. I need you to stop this evil. I need you to remedy this situation. I need you to heal this sickness. And somehow, some way, what God decided to do didn't make a whole lot of sense. Wow. Now when you get there, and you will, if you get there in your life and you will, there are one or two responses to take. For the super saved, sanctified saints who have been talking in tongues since y'all been 6 days old, y'all do is sweep it under the rug and throw on church cliches. Well, you don't question God, and God never makes a mistake. He's too wise to make a mistake. God knows what he do. I always wonder why they always say that in the front of them. God is too wise to make a mistake. Like, really? My daddy going, I ain't trying to hear that right now. That God is too wise to make a mistake. You could have gave me another scripture. God is a mystery. I might accept that one a lot better. But do you going to tell me too wise to mistake? I never said you made a mistake anyway. It's a church cliche. And church people, when they come out of their mouth and they're not based spiritually, they say stuff they heard someone else say. And it don't even minister to you. God knows what he's doing. We all try to trivialize any situation someone is going through as if it always is well with you. I wish I could join that crowd. I wish I could tell you that I'm so saved and sanctified that I never question God. But I believe I'm not the only one that's been in some place where you and God in a private moment had to come to an understanding.
Amen.
You had to have a come to Jesus meeting with Jesus so you can understand how in the world the Lord would allow you to go through something like this. The real people in the house, when we get there, our faith is fractured just a little bit. Mm-hmm. It is not that you stop believing in God. It's not that you are ready to curse God and die. It is not that you didn't think God was real. But let's be honest. Some of you, of what you went through, has diminished your faith in God just a little bit. I know your Sunday outfit don't show it. The cross around your neck wants you to make people believe you have super fortified faith in God. But can we be honest? There are some things we go through that fracture our faith just a little bit. When you get there and you struggle with the place of theodicy, of a God who doesn't always make sense, of a God who doesn't do what you think he should have done and could have done, I need you to remember what goes down here in chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. It's probably the most famous miracle of Jesus. But it also raises one of the great mysteries of Jesus. Let me give you the context so you can appreciate the content. Jesus is somewhere in the vicinity of Bethany. He can dream. And in Bethany, there's a brother by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus has two sisters. You know them, Mary and Martha. Good Bible study students know Lazarus gets sick. Apparently, it is not just a common cold, because whatever the sickness is, it pushes him to the brink of death, Amy. Nobody in Bethany is too upset about it, though.
Amen.
And worried about it, Lazarus' sickness, because Lazarus has a BFF, whose name is Jesus.
Yes.
By now, word has spread about this Jesus. This Jesus can open blinded eyes. This Jesus can walk on water. This Jesus can feed 5,000 people with two fishes and five loaves of bread. This Jesus can do miraculous things. So Mary and Martha send a word to Jesus. This is what they tweet him. Jesus, Lazarus, your BFF, who you love, is dying.
Jesus.
Now Jesus is only about 2 miles away, just 2 miles up the street. So when the messenger sent, Martha believes he will be here within an hour. So she goes out and stands waiting to see Jesus coming down the road. Looking at her watch, yeah. An hour passes. No Jesus. Well, maybe he's tied up. Maybe the line at the miracle session is long. And he will be there after he gives a benediction. So she waits, looking for Jesus. The sun begins to set. Deacon Furlow?
Yes, sir.
Y'all with me? Maybe Jesus has gotten tied up and it's too late to travel now. It's getting dark. Surely Jesus will be here first thing in the morning. She goes to bed that night, wakes up before the sun rises, stands outside believing when the sun breaks the horizon, surely the one she has called will make his way there. She waits, looks, sun comes up. No, Jesus stands there throughout the day. Lazarus is dying, y'all. Where's Jesus? Wow. The day progresses on even further. The sun begins to go down. No Jesus. And now anticipation is replaced with anger. Lazarus' breath is getting shorter. Lord, where are you? I call on you. You know what I'm going through. You know what I need. He knows everything. I mean, surely you should have shown up by now. What Martha and Mary don't know is what we understand that shows up as the greatest mystery of the work of Jesus. That is this, when Jesus gets word that Lazarus is dying, the Bible says in verse number 6, he knew the one he loved was dying. He decided to hang out where he was for 2 more days. Not because there was a mystery, the ministry to be done. Not because he had committee meetings. Not because there was work that called upon him. The Bible seems to suggest that when he found out Lazarus was dying, he deliberately decided to hang out for 2 more days. He does not show up. And that really doesn't make sense now, does it, y'all?
Okay.
Because you say you love Lazarus. I've been doing everything you asked me to do. I'm praying and you ain't answering my prayer. And you care about Lazarus. Lazarus is your boy. You have done more for strangers. Surely you could have shown up by now. Because the expectation is the closer we get to God, to Christ, and the more we love him, he loves us back. There's an anticipation that when we call on him, he will answer.
Amen.
And Jesus is only 2 miles away. You don't even got to show up, Jesus. Do that centurion thing I talked about. You did. Wish I had some Bible readings in here.
Amen.
When Jesus just spoke, and his powerful words floated through the atmosphere and brought healing to the centurion's house.
Yes.
You don't have to do much, just speak a word. Have you ever been there when you really weren't asking God to do a great miracle? Lord, just handle this little issue, this little thing. Paul said in his word that what we go through is temporal.
Yes.
Paul said there's nothing too hard for God. Lord, just open this door. Lord, just handle this evil. Lord, just heal me of this sickness. I'm not asking to be no millionaire. I'm not asking to have a grand promotion. I'm not asking you to give me this and give me that. All I need is for you to just do this little thing. And God don't make no sense. Don't even answer me. So here comes Jesus 4 days after Lazarus done died. Notice when he gets to Bethany, there's no crowd to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Throw clothes and palm branches in the street. Nobody gathered to holler when the praise of God, the blessings come down. No, there's no excitement about Jesus showing up. When Jesus shows up, he's met in two distinct different ways. Distinctly different ways. On the one hand, there's Mary, who when she hears Jesus coming, she decides to stay in the house.
Yes.
I'm not talking to you. I don't feel like talking to you. Realize this is the same Mary now who broke and opened the expensive alabaster box and washed his feet, not with a rag. Y'all know they got the significance that I didn't tell y'all last Sunday. Do you know what it is for a woman to let her hair down in public back in the day? Women didn't let their hair down in public, Brother Anderson. They kept their hair up in a bun, and it was colored. You only did that at home with your husband, let your hair down. But she's in public, in the category of a bunch of elders, and she didn't care, I don't care. He cast devils out of me. When God done did something for you, you can care less how you praise him. Then she broke the alabaster box, Tracy, and put the oil in her hair and wiped his feet with her hair. Now she's in the house with an attitude. She says, but you didn't make sense. I don't feel like talking to you. Because when God doesn't make sense, the first thing to be attacked, Amy, is your prayer life. Why should I talk to God? I've been doing all this, praying, and God is not even answering. She stays at home. She does not even want to go to the place where Jesus is. Because when God doesn't make sense, not only does your prayer life is affected, but eventually you will stop going to church.
Yes.
I always look at people that they pray for coming to church, and for no apparent reason, you don't see them that much. You never knew what's wrong with them, but they got something going on the inside.
Uh-huh.
You might not have did nothing. Church ain't did nothing, but it's all about maturity, y'all.
Yes, it is.
When you're talking to God and God ain't making no sense to you, in most cases, can I back this down? Rewind that thing. Remember, God, sometimes God makes sense. We just ain't trying to understand. What's the point? I'm loving the Lord. I'm tithing. I'm reading my Bible. I'm even nice to people I don't even like. And nothing. There's Mary. That's Mary. Then there's Martha. There we go. She does not stay at home, and Martha doesn't decide she's not going to talk to Jesus. Martha runs to where Jesus is, but before you give her a trophy, y'all, take a look at what she does when she gets to Jesus with her bad self. She puts up this silly finger in Jesus' face. Lord, if you had been here, let me give y'all my version. Lord, if you had to come when I called you, and if you did what I asked you to do, none of this would have been going through this right now.
That's how we say it.
Martha has that attitude that sometimes I get. You know, when you have more than one child, your children are dramatically different, Sister Amy.
Yes, they are.
One of my pet peeves, I explained this to y'all, was my second child is when I used to call Tamika. Every time you call Tamika, she comes because Tamika don't want to get in trouble for nothing. My second child, when you call her, she would have no sense of urgency for her to come to me. That just gets me. When I call her girl, Sister Reverend Lyle, sometimes she would not even answer me. She would show up 5 minutes later, sash her little self in, just walk in, and I say, girl, when I call you, you better put some pep in your step and come and see what the heck I want. That is how Martha approaches Jesus. I called you. Now you want to sashay up in here 4 days later, after the funeral is already over.
Okay.
What Jesus understands is when you have reached this moment, when the work of God does not make sense in your life, and God has not done what you think God should have done, and what God could have done, and God didn't answer the prayers the way you thought They should have been answered. And God did not move in a timely manner for you.
Yes.
And what the Lord has done does not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
When the worst happens, even after you pray, here's what Jesus understands.
Mm-hmm.
That it's all about what you believe.
Yes.
Oh, that's key right now, y'all. Oh, we get where we left off at. It says, it's about what you believe. What I want you to do when you go home and read John chapter 11, y'all. Y'all should do it last Sunday. For your devotional time to check the factuality of what the preacher is saying, which is something y'all should always do. Y'all should always want to notice how, y'all should notice how many times there's an emphasis on the word believe.
Uh-huh.
Oh, y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Because what Christ is trying to get through is, in the moments when God does not make sense, what pulls you through is not what you understand, it is what you believe. Watch the subtle difference. Jesus says on the way to the tomb, listen to this, on the way to the tomb, he tells Martha, I said to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. What is going to get you through this season when you don't understand the work of God and what's going to hold you when God does not do what you want God to do, and what is God going to pull you through when the mystery of God is not what you desire in your life?
Yeah.
It is not what you can understand with your mind, but what you believe in your heart is what carries you through the storms of life. Do you believe? Let me tell you why that is difficult for us to digest. Because we live in a world that says seeing is believing.
Yes, that's
mm-hmm. But here's how Jesus flips this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, in some seasons of your life, you want to see it, you first got to believe it. You have to hold on to some beliefs that allow you to make it through.
Yeah.
It is what I believe. So quickly, saints, here's what Jesus says, you have to believe. Y'all ready now? Oh,
yes,
boy.
Yes,
it's going to get good in that, boy.
Woo!
In moments that make sense, in moments when God does not do what you want God to do, moments when evil has found you out with your righteous and holy self, in moments when the bottom of your life has dropped out, and despite of how many consecutive Sundays you have gone to church, in these moments when God doesn't make sense, here's what Jesus says to us.
Yes.
You have to believe in my presence and my promise. Notice, you will the interaction Jesus had with Martha beginning around verse 21. He says to Martha, when she shows up, she said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But now I know whatever you ask God, he will do. Watch this now. Jesus says, your brother will rise again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Martha has been trained in Jewish apocalyptic thought and understanding. She understands what happens on the last day. So she gives Jesus the common religious church cliche. I know that he will rise on the resurrection at the last day.
Yep.
Sometimes that's what we get when we struggle with God. All we come up with is church cliche because we really ain't got no relationship.
Right,
amen. Common cliche. I know the Lord will never put more on you than you can bear. I know that we've been enduring for a night and joy will come in the morning. I know that God knows what's best, but that ain't helping me right now. Have you ever been there? But you know, church folk meant well, but when they said what they said did not minister to the depth of the pain you were going through at that time. That does not help me. So then Jesus pushes it. Watch Jesus. He says, Martha, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Here's what Jesus says. I need to know, do you believe in who I am? Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Even though your brother is dead, even though what I did doesn't make sense, do you believe in who I am? Do you know I'm still God?
Still God.
Amen.
Do you believe that I'm still loving? Do you trust that I still have a plan for you?
Yeah.
Do you understand that no matter what you have gone through, I'm the same God I was before the worst thing happened to you? Do you believe in who I am?
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, here's the point. That when you don't understand God, don't let what you don't understand about God cause you to doubt what you do understand about God.
Amen.
Oh, let me say it again. Y'all ain't saying nothing. When you don't understand God, don't let what you don't understand about God cause you to doubt what you do understand about God. Don't let what you don't understand about God cause you to doubt what God has proven repeatedly of who he is in your life.
Yes.
Don't let one situation make you doubt that God still loves you, that God is still sovereign, that God is still omnipotent, that God is still gracious.
Yes.
God has done too much for you to doubt the character of who he is.
Amen.
Just because you're going through a little something, something.
Yes.
Come on now, grow up in him. God says, do you believe in me?
Yes.
This is what he's asking them on the way to the tomb. He says that your brother will rise again.
Yes.
Because whoever believes in me, though he died, he shall live again. Then Jesus says this, do you believe this? Do you believe the word I just gave you? Do you believe the promise? I know it does not look like it right now, but do you believe the word I just gave you? How many bad things have to happen before you lose your faith in the preeminence of the promise of God in God's word? Jesus says, I need to know if the worst should happen, you still believe all the things work, that all things work together for your good. For them that love the Lord.
Amen.
You still believe the Lord is my life and my salvation. You still believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You still believe that whatever you meant for evil, whatever was meant for evil, God can work it for your good. Do you still believe the word?
Yes.
Jesus said, I need you to believe that I am who you knew me to be before this all happened.
Yeah.
And that everything I have promised you in my word, I am able to perform. Help me, somebody. I preach to myself.
Come
on. I did a revival where I could have a church for the people that.
Come on, Pastor.
Amen.
A whole lot of people miss this is a good word.
Amen.
This is a good word.
Help me, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Ghost. Watch this. Not only do you have to believe, Deacon Drake, in my presence and my promise. Now this part gonna take some teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe in my powerful perspective.
Yes, it. Amen.
Watch what happens when Jesus begins to dialogue with the disciples. He says to the disciples, Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to wake him up. The disciples thought Jesus was using sleep as a metaphor for a non-terminal illness.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
They said, well, if he's not really dying, then he's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jesus comes back around and says, my bad, Lazarus is dead.
All right.
Don't miss what I'm saying. Jesus says first he is asleep,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to wake him up. The disciples say if he's not going to die, he will get better.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, my bad, he is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Jesus first say he is asleep?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this real slow. This is going to be good. Then it says he is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Was Jesus mixed up?
No.
Was he confused?
No.
Was his diagnosis off? No. Jesus speaks, revelations, of Lazarus being dead,
mm-hmm.
as if Lazarus is just sleeping.
That's it. That's mm-hmm.
Because, Deacon Drayton,
mm-hmm.
Jesus is seeing the condition through the perspective of his power.
Yeah.
That's it.
All about self. He's seen it through the perspective of his power. So Jesus begins by saying, Lazarus is asleep.
Yeah.
And all I have to do is show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I will wake him up.
Yes.
Disciples get it wrong. So Jesus says, let me make this clear. If it's left up to you, he's dead.
Yeah.
But if it's left up to me, he's just sleeping.
Yeah.
If it is within your power, he's dead.
Yes.
But if it's within my power, he's just sleeping.
Yes.
If it's all in your hands, it's over.
Yes.
But if you put it in my hands, it is something I can handle easily. Jesus said, you have to see it from my perspective.
Yes.
What you see as enemies, I see as your footstool.
Yes.
What you see as terminal, I see as just the beginning.
Yes.
What you see as hell, I see as heaven on the way.
Yes.
What you see as pain, I see as my grace is sufficient
yes.
for you.
Yes.
I see it differently than y'all do. You have to know from my vantage point, with the power I have, this is easy for me.
Yes, sir.
Now I know it looks impossible to you. I know you don't know how you can get through it. I know you don't know how you're going to make it, but there's some good news.
Yes.
This is not on you. It's not in your hands. It's not up to you. But if you give it to me,
yes, sir.
I got so much power.
So much power.
I can handle this.
Yes, he can.
You got to trust my power. Can Pastor teach this?
Yes, sir.
When Jesus shows up, Revelation, the most famous verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. I find that most people misunderstand why Jesus weeps.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me, Deacon Farrell. Watch Pastor.
Yeah.
The common thought is Jesus weeps because Lazarus is dead.
Right.
No. He did not weep when he got the tweet that Lazarus was dying. He did not weep when he got the text that Lazarus was dead. He does not weep when Martha gets in his face. He does not weep when he gets there. Why does Jesus weep? Oh, boy. Can y'all have it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Here it is. You have to notice in verse 33 and verse 38. You're going to find a specific term that Jesus groaned in his spirit. He groans in his spirit. And it is at the groaning. It is the groaning that precipitates the weeping. It's before the weeping. There's something going on in Jesus' spirit that caused him to be troubled.
Yes.
Well, what is it? It's not that Lazarus is dead, because that is easy for Jesus. Here's what makes the Lord groan. The Bible says two things happen that makes Jesus groan. First one, Mary is crying and there's a crowd around her that has endorsed and enabled the weeping as if this thing is over.
Yes.
Number two, then there's a crowd that is standing with Mary who says this. Watch them come out their mouth to Jesus. If you could open blinded eyes.
Come on now, Jesus.
Why did you not handle this? Obviously, you can. What causes Jesus to groan is there's a crowd around him who doubts his ability to handle a situation like this. Because they don't believe he knows they won't. They don't believe Jesus knows they won't see the glory of what God is about to reveal.
Yes. Yes.
He said because you don't believe in him.
Yes.
So he weeps. Stay with me. So when he goes to the grave now, y'all notice this. Mm-hmm. Mary and the crowd are not with him. Mm-hmm. Only Martha.
Yes.
Jesus says the fact that you don't believe I can handle it means you are not equipped to stand and watch what God is about to do.
Well.
Y'all just heard what I said.
Amen.
Because if you believe, you can't see.
Yes.
If you don't believe, you cannot see.
Cannot see. Mm-hmm.
Your unbelief will block the glory of God. You don't want nobody on a committee with you, Revelation, that don't you God give you something and then they say that because we ain't never did it before, they don't believe God can do it.
Right.
Amen.
That blocks everything.
It does. Yes, it does.
In many cases, when Jesus performed miracles, when the little girl had died. And they met Jesus on the road.
Right.
After he had healed the woman with issue of blood. Mm-hmm. He said, Master, no, they said, Master, I need you to come out. She's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what Jesus did? Mm-hmm. Jesus put them out of the house.
That's right.
Yes.
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 Cut people off that always naysay. Everybody got to be too old to be naysayed. If God said we can do it, if we follow the word of God, God said we can do it. No, we can do it.
That's it.
This is a spiritual thing. This is not a church is not a physical thing.
Amen.
It's spirit. And when you think that what you do physically is when they came to church, you got it twisted.
Okay.
This is a spiritual thing.
Yes.
And you can always tell the spiritual from the non-spiritual.
That's right.
Or how you respond to certain things.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So true. That is so true.
Mm-hmm. Jesus said, the fact you don't believe I can handle this, it means you are not equipped to stand and watch what God is about to do. Because if you believe, you can see. If you don't believe, you cannot see. Your belief will block the glory of God. Is going to relieve. So he cries because you are not believing is going to cause you to miss what God is going to do. What God is going to do is so great. All I need you to do is believe, Jesus said. All I need you to do is trust that I got enough power, that I'm strong enough, that I'm omnipotent enough. I know he is dead. I know this is a bad situation. I know this is not going down the way you want it to go down. But believe that I am still able. That I can handle this lesson.
That's right. Yes.
Believe I can handle it unless you miss it.
Yes.
I got to go. Keep y'all long enough. Jesus said you have to believe in my presence and my promise.
Yes.
You have to believe in my powerful perspective.
Yes.
Finally, last thing I need you to believe, Jesus said. Mm-hmm. Watch this, y'all. You need to believe in my plan and my path.
There you go. My plan and my path.
My plan and my path. Mm-hmm. The whole story, Sister Muffet, comes to a climax early in verse 4. Mm-hmm. When Jesus simply says this, Lazarus is sick, but his sickness is not unto death. But for the glory of God, Jesus throws out one word that changes the whole scenario.
Okay.
Brother Anderson. Jesus throws out one ingredient that changes the whole perspective of this sick thing. Mm-hmm. One word that changes the whole dynamic of what is going down. Mm-hmm. One word that elevates them above what they don't understand to what they ought to shout about. Glory. I know there's sickness, but there will be
glory.
Yes.
I know you don't understand, but there will be
glory.
I know it hurts right now, but there will be
glory.
I know it's not what you asked for, but if you hold on, there will be
glory.
Let me tell you why people don't shout when they hear the word glory.
Glory.
Let me tell you why the church, are y'all still sitting down? Because most of us have walked with the Lord long enough to understand one fundamental reality. Okay, Pastor showed you since y'all want a minute. Let me tell you why y'all didn't jump when I say glory. That oftentimes, watch me, Sister Ophelia, what brings glory, God's glory, does not bring us any pleasure.
Absolutely.
That God is glorified when those who don't believe in him, he's glorifying when people who don't believe him, see something go down that is amazing and phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That they have to lift up their eyes and acknowledge the reality of God. God gets glory when people who don't believe in him lift up their eyes and realize that there's a God and they don't believe. That's because they saw something phenomenal happen with God.
Yeah.
Y'all right?
Yeah.
That is why the Bible says, listen, when Jesus raises Lazarus, the Jews who did not believe started to believe because God got the glory.
Yes.
Now here's the press. Here's the press, the mute button, probably. Y'all didn't want to hear. This is the praise to go down a bit. Because what gives God glory is not your prosperity. The new car in your driveway, a new car in your driveway, does not let your neighbor know that God is real.
That's true.
Anybody with good credit can get a new car, and nowadays bad credit too.
Yep.
Promotion on your job does not let your coworkers know that God is real. Anybody with a good work ethic can get a promotion.
That's true.
What gives God glory is when you go through hell.
Ah, Jesus.
And are at the bottom.
Yes.
And the Lord still holds your life together.
Yes.
That's when I know he's real.
Yes.
So God says, in order for me to get glory, I have to let the worst happen.
Yes.
Y'all hear me?
Yes,
I have to let the bottom drop out. I have to let all hell break loose in your life. In the midst of all of that, I will still wake you up in the morning.
Yes.
I still give you joy. Yes. I still make ways out of nowhere while you're going through hell, so that those around you will wonder, how are you making it? The only answer to be that there is a God somewhere.
Somewhere.
Y'all trying to make pastor preachers fun. Hey. Watch this. This is it. This sickness is not unto death.
Not unto death.
But the problem is, Lazarus dies.
Yes. Yes.
Didn't Jesus say the sickness is not unto death?
Mm-hmm.
He said that, but Lazarus still dies, y'all.
Yeah, he still dies.
Oh, Lord. Y'all ready to walk in some troubled water with me?
Go ahead,
Pastor. New Jerusalem used to deep water.
Yes.
Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death. Jesus said, you missed what I just said.
Yes.
I did not say the sickness was to death.
Mm-hmm.
I just said it had to go through death.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Go ahead, talk to us, Pastor.
Make you laugh, Mrs. Muffin. It's right there in the word staring at you. Jesus said, Lord have mercy. God. Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death. Jesus said, you missed what I said. I did not say the sickness was to death. I just said it had to go through death. But the destination was glory.
Yes, God gets glory.
I didn't say you would not go through nothing.
Uh-huh.
I said you are not, I did not say you're not going to go, going to it. The destination is, I did not say you wouldn't go to it. The destination is glory.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Death is just on the itinerary.
Yes.
Y'all getting this?
Yes.
Ah, this is good.
Yes.
Jesus said, I didn't say you would be broke.
Uh-huh.
I didn't say you your body won't be wrecked with pain.
Uh-huh.
All I said, six ain't nothing that. And every time you broke, don't mean your house though ain't gonna get paid.
Uh-huh.
But you got to go through it to get through the glory.
Yes.
I said, well, Lord, can I change the definition? Can I change that word glory? So he said, change it, boy, change it. So they got to get it. He said, for you to get to your blessing, you got to walk sometime.
Yes.
Off the rough side of the mountain.
Yes.
Oh, y'all, they still ain't getting it, deep.
Yes.
Can I make this a little plainer?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get it out here.
Yeah.
There are times when I go out River Lodge.
Yes.
I prefer to eat at five-star restaurants.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, don't tell me about Red Lobster. Popeye, I don't do that. I like to eat in restaurants with my waiter. He's going to stand there. And I want the waiter to come around and give me a roll. I want him to stand there. And if the crumbs on my table, you take that little device. If you haven't seen it, you'll come and take the crumbs off the table. I want all my fork. I want my salad fork. I want my meal fork. And I want my dessert fork.
Yeah.
I want my spoons on the right side of the plate.
Right.
If I decide, oh, when I used to drink wine, I ain't trying to mess y'all up. I don't want them to go bring their glass in the back. No, put my bottle in the cooler, sit it right there.
Okay,
and when my glass go low, you fill my glass. Don't let my glass go down. I know how to eat out real good.
Okay.
I'm a connoisseur from fine restaurants. I was informed by one of my district managers, Sister Fredo. He was sharing me about this restaurant that he and his wife ate at in Miami a while back. And he said, I told him I never ate them before. He said, Doc, you ought to try it. It will surpass your expectation of fine dining. He says, I said, what's the address? I said, I don't know where that's at. I've never been there. He said, you got a GPS on your vehicle? I said, of course. He said, plug in the address. It will take you straight to the valet parking. I said, okay. That nice, Miss Annie?
Uh-huh.
I did.
Okay.
And y'all know how the GPS works, right?
Uh-huh.
When you program something into it,
uh-huh.
It'll take you there. And say, turn right
uh-huh.
at 50th Street. Turn left at 29th
yeah.
Avenue.
Uh-huh.
Go forward 20 yards and then take a right.
Uh-huh.
So I'm following the navigation because it's leading me to my predestined destination.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I'm still in the Bible.
Yes.
The destination is plugged in to where I want to go.
Yes.
But while following the navigation, Deacon Drayton, it took me into a neighborhood that looked familiar to me.
Uh-huh.
I did not want to go through this neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I ain't calling no names, make nobody sound bad.
Uh-huh.
But it's in mind. I didn't want to go through that neighborhood at that time of night.
Uh-huh.
In the car by myself.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I called this district manager. He gave me a cell phone. I said to him, man, you sure you gave me the right address? I don't think I'm going right. Because don't look like this restaurant is in this area. Oh, no. I don't think this restaurant is in this area. He says to me, he said, that's the closest way to get from your side of town to get to this fine restaurant. I said, I don't want to be here. He said, well, don't stop driving now. Because your destination has been programmed already. You have to go through that bad neighborhood to get to where you are trying to go. Goodbye, New Jerusalem, because y'all ain't got it yet. Sometimes you have to go through some pain. You got to go through some pain sometimes to get to where God wants you to be. Don't worry about what you're going through. Know that God got your destination programmed in your future. I know that it looks like hell and high water, and you really want to turn around and make a U-turn, but you got to keep on pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, because your destination is programmed. If you believe.
Yes.
Do you believe?
Yes.
Oh, y'all don't believe.
Yes.
You got to believe that I don't care what you're going through. You don't know what you're going through, that the world is watching you.
Yes.
Can I get a witness up in here?
Amen.
The world is watching what you're going through, Sister Ophelia. I know I'm right in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just got to believe.
Yes.
But God is saying to you, mm-hmm. Sister Phil, you get up every Monday. Mm-hmm. I thought about you when I was writing the sermon. Mm-hmm. Every Monday you got to get up. And you and Raymond got to go to the doctor.
Yes.
Everybody around you know Raymond got his condition. I ain't saying because I'm not even trying to claim it.
Okay.
But they know what he got.
Mm-hmm.
But they see you. Still leaving out the door happy, still going to church. You ain't missing a mark.
My God.
And they say, how does she do that?
That's true.
And be happy about it. She never seemed depressed. She's never seemed like she's worried about nothing. I'm going to find you right now with the writer of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians say. I'm going to find here. In a minute here, I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it. I'm going to read it to you. Because it says here in 1st Thessalonians, she said that if you believe.
Yeah.
If you believe, all things are possible.
All things
And if you believe that God said that he would come back, he's going to come back. But here we go. It says that for those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to believe. Say, the archangel of God will blow the trump of God. Oh, y'all, watch it. What's this mouthful? What the pastor preaches like an old preacher? Say, the trump of God will sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Y'all ain't hearing me. To meet God in the air. You got to believe. I don't know. You might not think he's coming back. But I believe. That we got a building of God not made by hands. Y'all ain't hearing me. And I said, but what if you ain't got? I mean, everybody that died in the Lord, they're going to get up. They said that. The bird got to regurgitate the worm. And the worm got to regurgitate the flesh. And say flesh going to come back to flesh. But we're going to have a resurrected body, Deacon Frodo. Deacon Frodo. And for us that are still alive. Oh, you got to believe this then. It said that we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Y'all ain't hear me? And we will meet God in the air. Deacon Frodo, if you still here, when God changed you with a twinkling eye, you're going to take off them dark shades and you're going to be like Clark Kent with x-ray vision. Can I get a witness of this? Sister Muffin, when he changed your body, your body you're not going to need that walker, but you're going to swing your hips like you used to, Sister Muffin. Can I get a witness up in here? I won't need insulin no more. Because guess what? The Holy Ghost will regulate my blood sugar. Can I get a witness up in here? Trust me, you got to believe. He just wanted them to believe. I don't want to have Jesus up in heaven weeping because I don't believe. Groaning in his spirit because I'm here talking crazy. Oh, he said he's going to do it. He ain't done it yet. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm paying my tithes and I'm still broke. Hello. He ain't saying nothing. We got the wrong perspective. Stand to your feet. All those things because we pay our tithes, we're supposed to get rich all of a sudden.